ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Wow. I mean, can you imagine that? Okay, Joshua, you're not doing this on your own. The Lord is going before you. In fact, he's the one who's promised the children of Israel this land. So don't fear. Complete the work that God has called you to do, Joshua. And how important that is. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. God will see you through. For David, when his life was coming to an end, and he is encouraging his son Solomon, he was going to be the new king. And Solomon's young. He's inexperienced. And this is what David says to him in 1 Kings 2, verses 1 through 4. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your son takes heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So again, notice David is encouraging Solomon. Be strong, be a man, follow the ways of the Lord. Think about the advice that he could have given him. Solomon, invest your money wisely. Right? Or invest in a house, you're going to get a good return, or make sure you're getting paid for what you're worth, whatever. You know, you can put whatever you want in there. Don't let the things of this world overpower you, Solomon. Focus on the Lord. Stay close to him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Yeah. Put God first. God will take care of things. And what an important lesson. If you put things ahead of your relationship with the Lord, I guarantee you you'll never be satisfied. You just look at this world today and you see that. We are one of the most prosperous countries in the world, and look at how dissatisfied people are in America. We have everything, and we have nothing apart from the Lord. In fact, a great book to read is one that Solomon wrote, Ecclesiastes. He did everything you could think of under the sun and was empty, was never satisfied. And he comes to the end of the book and he basically says, you know, you got to love the Lord, man. You got to serve him. That's where it's all at. All this other stuff, it's empty. It's vanity of vanities, emptiness. You can't grasp, you're trying to grasp for something and it ends up being nothing. And that's the world. Apart from Christ, you try to fill that void in your heart and you can't. Only Christ can fill that spot. Now, God allows us to be in difficult situations, doesn't he? Absolutely. But you have to set your minds to meet that challenge or you end up giving up. I know what God has called me to do. Now, there have been, in 28 years, there's been discouragement for me in the work that I'm doing. And my wife, bless her heart, she would say to me, you know, Joe, do you think God just brought you up here to drop you off? And it's really kind of simple, right? And it wasn't a jab. It was just reality. Of course not. He called me up here. He's not leaving. All right, thanks. I needed that to forge ahead. Now, we talked about this last time, this ad that was in a newspaper years and years and years ago. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Who would apply for something like that, right? You'd be a fool to do that. But it appeared in the London newspaper, and you know what? Thousands of men applied for that position. Are they crazy? Well, no. It was signed by Arctic explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton, and that made the difference. When God calls you, he, in a sense, is asking you, are you ready for this? Join up. Complete the work I called you to do. And you know what? We do what he's called us to do, and then he stretches us more and more. And it's called growing in our walk with the Lord. We got to complete that work. Now, as we read on here in 1 Timothy, we're going to see the reason to stay, why Timothy was to stay. And we're going to look at verse 3 again and verse 4 here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. You know, Timothy was to get the people back to the truths of God found in the Word of God, instead of fables and genealogies and foolish things. Endless genealogies? Maybe it's related to Gnosticism. Their idea was that Jesus was an emanation from God. He wasn't really God, but he was an emanation from him down the road. It could have been several hundred other gods or just a couple other gods, but he is an almighty God. It's possible. Some think it has to do with the Jewish legalism and how they sought a righteousness by one's ancestry. The Jewish people, and especially the religious leaders, thought Father Abraham stood at the gates of hell to pluck any Jew out. But for the Gentiles, they're done. They're going in. That was the mentality. Because we're Jewish, God will never, ever send us to hell. No, it wasn't true. One author gives us this insight. He said, as we learn the word and share with others, there's a danger of trying to find something in Scripture no one else has ever seen before. That's what some in Ephesus were doing as they looked into Old Testament genealogies, discussed the stories endlessly, and veered off into all sorts of vain speculations. In so doing, they missed out on solid teaching. To those who desire to be Bible teachers, I give this piece of advice. Give up trying to be creative and innovative. Instead, stick with the simple, powerful truth of the gospel, and you will never go wrong. Absolutely. You know, you could spend all your time looking at things, but the reality is, what does God have for me in here that I can apply to my life and grow? How do I learn more about God? Well, just be in his word. You know, there are a lot of, we will never fully understand completely all that's in here from Genesis to Revelation, because God's word's living and powerful and it'll meet us where we're at. But we can't get lost in things that are not going to help us. Now, there are those that think doctrine divides, and I guess they're right. Doctrine does divide. Why? Well, when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, and people believe all roads lead to God, that's going to divide. But do you ignore the truth to make them happy? No. You love them too much to tell them a lie and say, oh, you're right, all roads lead to God. No. I'm sorry. Jesus is the only way. We have developed a teaching today where it's just a positive, feel-good message. It doesn't offend anyone, and it's tolerant of everyone's beliefs. But you know what? Doesn't God convict our hearts as we're going through his word? It should. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's a surgical instrument that cuts away that stuff that needs to be removed from our lives. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine in 1 Timothy 4:13. Teach the Word of God because it's living. It is powerful. It will transform our lives. And I've told you before, there are times, you know, I'm going through something and, you know, my daily reading, I'm going through it and I go, man, Lord's nailing me on this one. So, you know, okay, you know, I'll get in my car, do my daily, go to the post office, go to the church, do what I need to do here. It's like every teacher on the radio station is teaching the same thing, just nailing me. I'm like, all right, what's going on? All right, Lord, this is you. You're trying to get my attention on this one. Yeah. But if we move away from sound doctrine, what are we going to do? We're going to be entertaining? And that's a lot of what the church is. I told you before, and we'll get into it as we get into 1 Timothy chapter 4, but there's a church out in California where the pastor and some of the people with workers there for the sermon dressed up in figures from Toy Story 4. All right, so we're going to be like little kids now, right? Is that what we're going to teach? Or we're going to teach sound doctrine, healthy doctrine? It's dangerous. Sound doctrine really is the lifeblood of the local church. It's critical for the health. And think about it. I realize that years ago, one church in town was kind of making fun of us and putting us down. And they said, oh, Calvary Chapel, that's the teaching church. Hey, thank you very much, man. Praise God. Yeah, we are. Look at the pastoral epistles. These are to pastors, okay? If healthy doctrine, sound doctrine was not important in the local church, why would Paul speak some 32 times, make 32 references to doctrine, teachers, and teaching in these epistles? 32 times. Because it's important. It's vital to the function of the church. I'll give you a couple examples. Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Titus 2:1, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Again, healthy. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 1 Timothy 4:11, these things command and teach. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And lastly, in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear. Yeah, very clear. And yet, a Gallup poll from 2022, a record low 20% of Americans now say the Bible is the literal word of God. It was at 24% in 2017. 20% of Americans. How many Americans consider themselves Christian? It's like 80-some percent. And yet they don't believe the Bible is the word of God? What do you believe then? And that's the big question. When you look at what they believe, you understand that they're not reading their Bible. They don't believe it. In fact, 29% say the Bible is a collection of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. Okay. Paul was warning Timothy about this, and it's going on also today. And once, you know, the regular teaching of the Word of God, of doctrine, of theology, is done away with, what's going to happen? You're going to starve, spiritually speaking. Now, I'm not here to give pep talks. Does God's Word encourage us? It absolutely does. Absolutely. Does it correct us? Absolutely. Does it build us up in the faith? Absolutely. But it's not a pep talk. You know, think about a football game, right? You can have 80,000 people in the stands cheering. They're so excited. They're pepped up. You've got the cheerleaders that are getting them to do the wave or whatever and to cheer and to yell and to scream. And what happens when they leave? It's all gone. But if you allow the Word of God by the Spirit of God to work in your heart and your life, when you leave, you'll be a changed person because God did something on the inside. I think we need to understand that. The church has lost its focus today, and that's what Timothy, or Paul's writing to Timothy about. You need to get things back in order. In fact, Martin Lloyd-Jones put it like this. He said, if we go astray in our doctrine, eventually our life will go astray as well. You cannot separate what a man believes from what he is. For this reason, doctrine is vitally important. Certain people say ignorantly, I do not believe in doctrine. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And nothing else matters. To speak in that way is to court disaster, and for this reason. The New Testament itself warns us against this very danger. We are to guard ourselves against being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. For if your doctrine goes astray, your life will soon suffer as well. So it behooves us to study the doctrines in order that we may safeguard ourselves against certain erroneous and heretical teachings that are as rife and as common in the world today as they were in the last days of the early church. Yeah. It's that important. Winds of doctrine have always been in the church since it started. Just read the letters that have been written. Most of them are dealing with false teaching. You know, we just finished up the letter from Jude. And that's the whole letter. I wanted to, you know, tell you about our faith, our common salvation, but the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I was constrained to tell you to contend earnestly for the faith that's been entrusted to you. Yeah, it was a problem. And understand that if healthy or sound doctrine's not being taught, all kinds of things will blow through that church and people will grab a hold of them. They set their sails up and they're, like Paul said in Ephesians, they're tossed to and fro. I told you before, you know, I don't even understand this one, but, you know, there's churches in California that their people go to grave sites of famous Christians and they call it grave sucking. And they lay on these graves to suck the energy out from these people. Common sense, you know. But we've lost that because we moved away from the Word of God. You think that is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. Well, it's not the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. That's a sad thing. But when you stick to God's Word, you're not going to be tossed to and fro. You know, we see in Jeremiah 3:15, the Lord said, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Yeah, it's that important. During Jeremiah's day, what were they doing? It's very interesting because it's what we're doing today. Feel good message, right? You know, they even had people that dressed up. You know, put horns on your head. Oh, we're going to gore the enemy, the Babylonians. We're not going to lose this battle. We're going to be victorious. Those were the false prophets. And they were very good because everyone listened. And Jeremiah tried to warn them. And God said to Jeremiah, finally, you know what? Jeremiah, don't pray for these people anymore. They're going into captivity. It's over. They're going into captivity. We need pastors who are willing to feed the sheep and nourish them, give them the knowledge of God according to his word, and open up by the Spirit of God. One writer said the greatest need of the church today is not less doctrine, but more doctrine about God, about salvation, about ourselves, about character, about church, about family. Our greatest need is to know God better, and we can learn more only from his word. Absolutely. And the truth will set you free from the lies. It's very obvious. You know, there is so much false teaching out there and false doctrine, false information. And you could study it for your entire life and there'll always be more. Always. But if you know the truth, when you hear something false, it's exposed. Okay, look at this is what the Bible says. This is what you say. You're wrong because of this. So the reason to stay for Timothy was to deal with these false teachers, to give the people there in Ephesus the truths of God found in the Word of God so they can grow, so they won't be tossed to and fro. You know, Paul's going to say in 2 Timothy 4, preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? Because the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers, and they're going to turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales. But Paul tells Timothy, you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Well, afflictions? Yeah, endure afflictions. It's going to be tough. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Well, the next point here is the reason to correct. Look at verse 5 here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. So as you read this, it seems like some of the leaders were teaching a Jewish type of legalistic doctrine and goes against the scriptures. And God's interested in our heart. Why? Because when he gets a hold of our heart, then our actions will change. A legalistic view, though, is what? Clean up the outside. Clean up our actions. But on the inside, Jesus said, you're filled with dead men's bones and you're like whitewashed tombs. You look real nice, but you're dead. And Paul starts out, he says, very simple. You should have a love from a pure heart. It's an agape love that comes from God. But think about it. On the other end of the spectrum is a legalistic view. What twists God's word is very harsh and judgmental, not loving towards people, looking down upon them, think we're better than they are. And, when you teach sound doctrine, it promotes unity, love, not disunity and disputes. Love from a pure heart. And the word pure in the Greek means to clean or unmixed. We get our English word cathartic from. And a cathartic is an agent used by a doctor to cleanse the body. What does that mean to us? On an emotional level, a catharsis can speak of a person who's cleansed from anger, bitterness, all kinds of destructive emotions. And the spiritual catharsis, the cleansing of the inner man. And once that's done, then these other issues, anger, bitterness, destructive emotions can be dealt with. But you first have to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You have to come to saving faith. And it's after that the sanctification process begins. Paul also speaks of being unmixed or undiluted, that word can be. I'll give you an example. When we go out to eat after church, Mickey will order root beer. He only drinks the good stuff. The good root beer. But he does something that's very interesting. He doesn't add ice. Why? Because it dilutes it. It loses its flavor. It's not as good. And that's the whole idea here. You don't want things that are diluted. Think of gold, all the impurities in it. When you remove those impurities, it's undiluted. It's unmixed with the dross. It's pure. And for us, we're to have a heart that's totally given over to God, not dilute it with the things of this world, a love for this world. Don't have a divided heart. And what I find interesting is that the church today wants to be like the world. And as we read the scriptures, it's the opposite. God tells us, you're not to be like the world, you're to be like who? Jesus, right? And the world doesn't like Jesus, so the world's not necessarily going to like you. But that's not the issue. The issue is, are you shining for Jesus? Because if you are, then the Holy Spirit can work on the hearts of individuals. And that's the important issue. Give your heart over to the Lord. Paul also says that we're to have a good conscience, or living as God desires. Now, again, we're not perfect, but in a legalistic view, we end up condemned, knowing we're never going to measure up to the standard of God, perfection. And the devil loves to condemn us. Years ago, at the church I used to go to, there was a woman who came from a very legalistic church. You know, you don't sin anymore. And she was just beaten up. She was condemned all the time. She felt worthless before God, didn't even know if she was a Christian. And so she came into Calvary, and my pastor talked with her and explained about grace. And she stayed there for a while. But after a while, she just had to go back to that church. And she did. And it was so devastating, she committed suicide. She couldn't get past the fact that she didn't live up to the standards that they had set. And what was interesting is the sister of that woman who committed suicide called my pastor and asked him to do the service because she did not want anything to do with that church. Grace is wonderful because we don't deserve anything, and he gives it to us. Legalism condemns us and makes us feel worthless. Does that draw us closer to God? Absolutely not. You know, conviction draws us to God. Condemnation pushes us away. And why do we believe what the devil is saying to us? Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are feeling condemned this morning, you're listening to the wrong person. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. None. Not that we're perfect. Not that we don't need to change. But God's love for us is unconditional. And I'm so thankful for that. Conviction draws us closer to God. Lord, help me in this area. We know we've done wrong. And he's right there to lift us up. When he was walking on the Sea of Galilee and the disciples are in the boat, Peter walks out to him, right? And he starts to sink. What did Jesus say to Peter?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.